So that was just for church family. Amen. What's wrong with the New King James Bible? That's a common question everybody asks. So what you've got on two ends of the spectrum is you've got the more fundamental, those stricter Bible correctors who say, you know, we need to use the New King James Bible. And, you know, with the King James Bible, it just takes out the D's and the vowels and all that kind of stuff. But to be honest with you, and on the other end of the spectrum is the more liberal Bible correctors. They typically like the NIV. So I want to show you not only what's wrong with the New King James, but I also want to show you some of the obvious major problems with the New International Version. So, first of all, New King James Bible. What they say is, they say that they're not really making any changes. It's just an updated version of the King James Bible, which is an absolute lie. Now, with a lie of that magnitude, I don't mean to be mean or rude, but it causes me to doubt the very character of the guys who are processing that Bible and publishing that Bible. There's a character issue. Because if you're building your Bible based on the precedence of the King James Bible, the King James Bible is the Word of God, it's inspired, we believe the King James Bible, it's the standard, it's the best Bible, it's the one that's God's used the most, but you know, it's kind of outdated, and it's hard for people to read, and so what we're going to do is just kind of get rid of the V's and thou's. How many people have you talked to? I mean, just raise your hand if this has been the case, alright? You've bumped into somebody, and you've said, well, King James only, and they say, I just have a problem with the V's and the thou's. Okay, first of all, they're lying. What the fact of the matter is that they bought the marketing line. They bought the ad. I guarantee you, if somebody put a gun to their head and said, tell me what thee and thou means, read this passage and tell me what God's saying, they could figure it out quick. Another great argument is people would be irate with you. Scholars, professors would be irate with you if you tried to go in and change Shakespeare to modernize Shakespeare. Why do we do that to the Word of God? The other funny thing to me is these guys claim to be scholars. They claim to be very intelligent. They claim to be very educated beyond the norm in the Word of God. If that's the case, how in the world are they going to miss some of the things I'm going to show you tonight? And you're going to understand it. I have no doubt in my mind at all that pretty much every person in this room is going to digest and understand. I mean, everybody over five is going to be able to digest and understand what we're teaching tonight. I personally take it as insulting. And a scholar says, that's hard for you to understand, so what we're going to do, this is what they said in the Moody Monthly, June 1982, the back cover. Thomas Nelson Publishers ran an ad for the New King James Bible and claimed that nothing has been changed except to make the original meaning clearer. So what they're trying to say is, we're just trying to make this book that's so hard for you to understand clearer for you to understand so you can get the original intent. In other words, you're too stupid to read sixth grade at the average of a sixth grade level. That's insulting, isn't it? I'll never forget, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to an older preacher and I said, you know, I just don't think our church is ready yet for that. And he looked at me and he said, you underestimate your people. And it just hit me. I said, you know what? You're right. They're not stupid, are they? He said, no, give them doctrine. They can handle it. But yeah. But you guys, you realize that this is what you're fed in Bible college. You're programmed like this. You come out of Bible college programmed to feel like I got to water it down. I got to make it easy for everybody to understand because they just don't get it. If you don't get it, it's because you're not paying attention. You're not praying. You're not thinking. You're not listening. You're daydreaming in church and you're not reading your Bible seriously. And you're not interested. So we don't need to dummy this down for you. And what they're doing is they're presenting something that's grossly dishonest and very inaccurate. So why would you even buy a Bible from somebody who's lying to you right out of the gate? We're going to change. Nothing has been changed except to make the original meaning clear. Nothing has been changed. They drop the word Lord 66 times. Lord. It's a book about Him. They drop the word God 51 times. They drop the word heaven 50 times. 2,289 words from the New Testament alone are removed, and with a total of over 100,000 changes in wording. So the New King James Bible, the one that's the closest to the King James, and what's the difference? they remove 2,289 words from the New Testament and change well over 100,000. You think you got the exact words of God? All right, let's take a look. Start with me, if you would, turn to your Bible to Genesis 16:28. I'm sorry, Exodus. Exodus 16:28. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 28. If somebody, whoever grabs it first, would read it and read the verse real loud for me so we can hopefully get it picked up on the mic here, that would be appreciated. In the King James Bible, Exodus 16:28.
And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my law?
All right. Now, how long refuse ye, right? This is what the New King James Bible says. 16:28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? What's the difference? Ye is the old English, you is the modern English, right? Wrong. There is a difference. The word ye is the second person plural personal pronoun. Look at the context there in Exodus 16:28. Go back and look at the context. You can just go back one verse. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. What had they just done? They had just disobeyed what God said. Did Moses do it? No, he didn't, did he? You know what the New King James Bible does? The New King James Bible tells you that Moses did it. God said, Moses, how long do you? You is singular. So there God's rebuking Moses for something Moses didn't even do. I mean, God can't figure out who sinned and who didn't. God said, ye. He's speaking to Moses because Moses is the leader of the nation of Israel and Moses is the messenger from God. I mean, if you just study, you know, the book of Exodus, you study the Pentateuch, you see that Moses is the messenger from God. Hey, God said this, you've done that. He goes up in the mountain, he comes back down. He's the messenger from God to the people. God said, how long do ye? There was a bunch of people doing it, and God was rebuking that nation through Moses. He wasn't accusing Moses personally. Now, how could a scholar miss that? We're making it easier for your understanding, getting it closer to the original intent. How do you get any more original than what God actually said to Moses himself? A Hebrew text? No, a Hebrew text is not more original than when God spoke it, and it's not more inspired than when God spoke it. God spoke it directly to the man, and God knew what he was saying when he said, ye, not you, ye. It's just simple English. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. So understanding that the word ye is a second person plural personal pronoun. All right? So it can be, it's a plural pronoun. It's not a singular pronoun like you would be. John chapter 3, and look at verse number 7. Somebody read that one real quick from the King James Bible, nice and loud.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
All right, now hold on a second. Thank you, brother. Thee is singular. Who is Jesus speaking to? A big group of people or a person? Nicodemus. So he said, marvel not that I said unto thee. That's singular. Ye is what? Second person plural. You think God might have known what he was doing? You think there's a chance when Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus, he knew this stuff was going to be recorded scripture. He knew he was speaking theos neustos. The breath of God. Inspired words are going to be copied down. Don't you think the eternal word, when he was made flesh, knew that this was going to be kept in a book and passed on to who? Ye. The world. He came unto his own. He created it. And he was telling everybody, not just Nicodemus. He did tell Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Does that make sense? That's a personal message to every one of us. But Jesus wasn't confused about who he was speaking directly to at the same time, was he? Of course he wasn't. He knew he was speaking directly to somebody, and that was Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The New King James Bible, John chapter 3, verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. What about the rest of us? He was speaking directly to Nicodemus. But ye, that doesn't let anybody else escape. That's a broad message to everybody. Another point about that, that's just a quick point on New King James Bible changing the these and the thous and the ye's and all that kind of stuff that's so difficult and so brutal that you could look up in a dictionary if you were serious about knowing what God had to say. Simple enough. Another point about the New King James Bible. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Who's going to grab that for me? Matthew 16, 18. Okay, fine, Gabe. Todd. Luke 16, 23. Did you get that, Gabe? Okay, Luke 16:23, Brother Todd. Dan Schmidt, 1 Corinthians 15:55, please. And I'm going to try to get back and forth here in the New King James on these and read them to you as they're read aloud. Now let's not forget they're going to make it easier for us, okay? Who had Matthew 16:18? Matthew 16:18.
On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Okay, here's your New King James Bible. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That is so much easier to understand. I'm so glad that they made this truer to the original intent. Because that archaic English, hell, that's an archaic word, isn't it? I mean, I heard somebody say it today. And yesterday, I actually remember stopping and thinking, you're a 70-year-old man I bumped into in the store. Nice guy. I had my four little girls with me. Grace is up north. And we were in Tractor Supply. And I bumped into this super nice guy. And I don't even know how he got to... Oh, Ava was walking up to him and... Then I was like, okay, honey, back off now. You know, it's rude. Give him some breathing room. He says, it's okay. I'm 70 years old. I said, you are not. I mean, the guy did not look 70. I'd have guessed him maybe 55 to 60 at the most. I said, come on. He said, yeah, I am. I'm 70 years old. I said, wow. I said, I hope I'm in as good a shape as you. He said, my youngest son is probably older than you. I said, how old is your youngest son? He said, 52. I said, way older than me. And he said, I'm 70 years old. And probably was his only son. Kind of the only thing that makes sense. But, you know, hey. He looked young. Might have been lying to me, but he had white hair. And then he used hell as a cuss word. Four little girls standing right there looking at him. And I remember thinking, really? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could have, you know, it didn't like he was getting too carried away, but, you know, really? Who here thinks that hell is an archaic word? Do you understand what God means when he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Who doesn't, just doesn't... You know, you got a TV, right? And you see even if you don't have a TV, you see the ads for all the latest, you know, hell belched TV shows. Stuff belched right out of hell. I mean, this stuff's like, it's like hell burped on your TV screen. I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to be gross. It's just what it is. And the more that people eat this stuff up, the more it's like hell's puking on the planet. What, these zombies chasing people and, you know, dragging a torn up leg and... Hell is a very modern term that people get. They're helping us out with the gates of Hades. Now, I told you we would deal with a little bit of this. Who's got Luke 16? Yes, Luke
16:23.
All right, let me get it for you here. Luke 16:23. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We felt like we were in torment in Hades. I mean, it was rough, man. It was hot. Drank a lot of water. It was brutal, man. Couldn't sleep all night. I mean, you'll go about 5 nights of, you know, that kind of humidity and that kind of heat when you're a little sissy from up north. You know, we are much tougher than the southerners because we can handle all weather. Amen. Real men live up here. Thank you, brother. That was a blessing. You know, our skin's thicker, our blood's thicker. We're way tougher. But you throw us down there in that heat, don't let me sleep all night because it's so hot. You just, your bed, your clothes, you look like you jumped into a pool when you wake up in the morning. Do that for 4 or 5 nights in a row. You're drinking water just as fast as you can drink it, and you're just always feeling parched. 2 meals a day? Oh, that's rough. I'm an American, man. I got 3 meals and snacks in between, praise the Lord, and then chocolate before bed at night, amen? Torments and Hades. You guys, come on. Really? Who do they think they're kidding? They're lying. And people go, oh, this one's so much easier to understand. Why are you falling for that? You're just not thinking. You know what it's like? It's your mindset. That's what it's like. It's like a child. You ever do something like that with a child? Like when they're real little, you can go, you get to help mommy with the dishes. And they go, I do. Yes, you do. And you get to run the vacuum. Isn't that great? Oh, let me run the vacuum. When they get old enough to think they're like, the vacuum. Yes, you get to vacuum. Oh, isn't that great? That's literally what we're like with this stuff. Oh, this one's so much easier to understand. Oh, the scholar said this is easier. Oh, I get that. He was in Hades. I never knew Lazarus flew to Hades. That's pretty amazing back in that day. It's just, I am making fun of them. And I'm making fun of people who don't have enough of a prayer life and aren't serious enough about God to step back for a second and say, now let me think about this. What is to this issue and why? Don't you realize every one of us are responsible? We're all going to answer to God? By the party line. 1 Corinthians 15:55.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
All right. Now, that's pretty clear, right? Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Watch. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? I guess they do get whooped. They don't have a standing army. You guys realize how ridiculous that is? That's not easier to understand. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The grave tied in with the resurrection of Jesus Christ who came out of the grave and sin, death, hell, and the grave. I mean, folks, it's not that difficult. But they make it actually more confusing. Now, here's what I was telling you before. What they do when they came to these words, there's when you translate from the Greek New Testament into English, you get the word that has the same meaning as that word. That makes sense? Simple enough. The real kicker to really mess with your head is that you can take one Greek word and oftentimes and accurately translate it multiple ways into English. So there's not, what I'm trying to say is this, there's not only and always one translation into English from a Greek word. Does that make sense? Okay. So they're translating to make it easier to the original sense, right? Make it truer to the original sense. And then they come across a word like Hades, Sheol. And instead of just saying hell, which is the English word thereof, they transliterate it. So when you transliterate a word, instead of finding the English equivalent, what you do is you take that letter of the alphabet and you just plug that into the letter of the alphabet in the English language. And whatever word comes out, whether it has any meaning whatsoever in the new language or not, that's the word that came out because it was transliterated from the original. Does that make sense? Do you follow that?
Amen.
Why would they come to something like this and transliterate it? Hades, Sheol. I just think there's something going on behind the scenes. I think maybe the devil doesn't want you to get some things. I think maybe there's a message the devil doesn't want going out to people. I think every time he can minimize and weaken and subvert that message on any level, he does. And that's what's happening. Let's look at another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Kelly, you're up, brother. 2 Corinthians 2:17, and Brother Josh, if you'll grab Titus 3:10. Brother John Waddell, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And Brother Rob, you'll grab Isaiah 66:5. Second Corinthians 2:17, yes sir. And then Pastor Chad, the last one's Acts 3:25 and 26. All right, so who's first? 2 Corinthians 2:17. All right. Corrupt the Word of God. How do you like that? So what he's telling you right there is there are many who do what? Corrupt the Word of God. They want to get stuff into that book that's not pure to what God said. The words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So Paul said, we're not as many. How many translations are out there? Many. And how many guys worked on the boards and how many pastors supported the new translation and his buddy who was going to make money off of it, getting kickbacks or however else they worked the thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. My preacher always used to say this, it's just down home country sense. If it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. Doesn't make sense. Somebody's making money, that's all. Corrupt the Word of God. That's really clear, isn't it? There's nothing about that that's archaic. This is what they say in the New King James. I mean, we're dealing with the New King James. This is supposed to be the closest to the King James Bible. 2:17, for we are not as so many peddling the Word of God. He said corrupt. Well, that just completely changes the whole meaning altogether. One of them has to be right and the other one has to be wrong. It's not about peddling the Word of God, but corrupting it. All right, who's got the next one? It was Titus 3:10.
Man is a heretic at the first and second admonition.
Ooh, a heretic. Now, that's a strong word, isn't it? And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to give them one admonition, a second admonition, and then stop it. That's just a 1-2 punch. Lead in with a good left, followed up with a hard right, and then if he don't go down, walk away. Or run, whatever you got to do. Depends on if we're talking about rebuking him doctrinally or really punching him. A heretic. You know what the New King James Bible says? Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Well, that ain't what the Bible says. It says heretic. Divisive man? Well, what if I'm being divisive over doctrine? What if I got a legitimate reason to dig my heels in and fight? You don't necessarily just reject them. I know, you know, unity and all that stuff in the body of Christ is important, but there's a big difference because sometimes you have to divide. The Lord divided light from darkness. He started out in Genesis doing some dividing. So God does divide. I mean, God allowed, what was it, Paul and Barnabas to have a little headbutting session so they go their separate ways. They divided. And God worked through it because he got twice the job done. I don't necessarily think it was what God wanted between the two of them in their relationship, but once it happened, God got some glory out of it. He's pretty good that way. He knows what he means. And heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. So when the goofball comes in and sits down and just digs his heels in and demands that I answer his questions, I said, I'm not answering your questions. You won't answer my question? Nope. You're a pastor, aren't you? Well, is there another pastor here who can speak to me? Nope, he's busy. He's busy? Looks right back at him. I said, yep, he's busy. And he just kept his head down. Like he's listening to him the whole time. His face is getting redder. You watch him, like the bloodline, you can see it kind of like raised like that. And I'm going, he's going to blow up pretty soon. I love it. A bishop's not soon angry. I'm on a bishop. He's an assistant. He can blow up if he wants. Amen. No, I'm not answering your question. Well, I just have a simple Bible question, and I know that you're the man that can answer it. Oh, I'm so brand. I mean, I'm still wet behind my ears. I'm going to fall for that one. You just complimented him. Oh, I feel so much better. He thinks I'm the man when it comes to Bible questions. No, I'm not answering your question. Get out of here. Why? Well, because we've already been down this road more than once. If you want to meet with me and talk to me about repenting from your attitude and why you believe that God's convicted your heart and you believe he wants you in this church as a part of this fellowship, okay, we'll talk. But we're not answering Bible questions. And you'll come and you'll sit on the front row and you'll just stay with me and I'll watch you like a hawk for a year. Amen. He said after first and second admonition, reject them. Well, it keeps problems down in the church, doesn't it? Who's next? 1 Thessalonians 5:22.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
All right, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's kind of a tough verse, you know. Some of the Bible verses in the Bible I don't like. I don't. Well, I wasn't doing anything wrong, so why should I have to worry about it? Because the book said abstain from all appearance of evil. And I don't want somebody to go to hell. I don't want one of you to get hurt because you thought I was doing something I wasn't doing. I went in the house mowing the grass, I think, a week or two ago. One of the great blessings of living up north is we just only have to do this for a little while and then we can quit. Amen? Well, we got to shovel snow. Shoveling snow is great exercise.
Yeah.
Mowing grass is boring and ridiculous. I could just walk around the mall if I wanted to do something boring. Amen? Well, I run in the house because I'm just sitting there and listening to preaching and mowing my grass, and nothing makes you want to eat more than just sitting there not doing anything, you know? So I ran in the house and I grabbed some pretzels. And I wolfed the first one down. I stuck the other one in my mouth. And I'd taken a couple bites off it, and I got out, and I was undoing the fence, and I had this pretzel hanging out of my mouth. You know, it was about yay long, and, you know, it's a pretzel rod. And I pulled the gate open, and I pulled my vehicle in, and my new neighbor was out there in his yard. And he's looking at me. He knows I'm a pastor. And he's waving. And I'm sitting on my truck. That thing hit me like, what if he thinks I'm sitting out here smoking a cigar? And I think the Holy Spirit said, appearance, Mike, don't forget. You got it, brother. I hear you. Because that might be all he needs, because they watch us like hawks. They come up to the fence to talk to us, and it's like, it's not like, you know, just hanging out and talking to you, a friend. It's like, your children are so well behaved. Your dogs are so well behaved. Like, yeah, you watch our kids out here. They fight all the time. And our dogs sound like, I mean, literally, if you just blindfolded yourself and listened to them wrestle, you would think a bloodbath was happening in the backyard. I mean, Sergeant's it's like this weird thing I've never heard of before. I mean, it's like blood curdling. They're very harmless. They're playing with each other. But then they get carried away. One of them yelps, and then his hackles go up, and he turns on him, and he turns back, and they try to, you know, and it sounds terrible. Like, we just love watching your dogs play. We love watching your kids play. And I'm always thinking, you know what? They're just watching every move we make because they know we're Christians. I'm not being hypersensitive about it. It's just, you just pick up on it. You just see it, the way they look at us. They're our age. And they're very uncomfortable. We're weird. Well, I would hate for him to think, aha, I knew it. You shouldn't have to live like that. I love living like this. What in the world are you talking about? I was sitting up here, standing up here this morning, and I was thinking about being in the ministry. I was thinking, you know, sometimes it doesn't even hit me that I'm a pastor or even in the ministry until I'm getting ready to go preach. In other words, I'm not living my life under this major bondage of, oh, this is terrible. I'm saying from all appearance of evil. What's the big deal? It's okay. That's a great verse. My flesh doesn't like it. Well, I don't think their flesh liked it either. Because, where's the verse again? Now I got preaching and I forgot the verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, here it is. Abstain from every form of evil. That's not the same. I wasn't doing anything wrong. Is eating a pretzel rod a form of evil? No. I'm not saying don't eat pretzel rods. Okay, please, let's not be like weirdos. Like, oh, pretzel rods can look like cigars from a long way away, so I'm not buying. Look, nobody's ever saw me carrying a thing of pretzel rods out and like, look, pastor just brought 400 cigars, man. Okay, let's not get stupid. It's an illustration. The point I'm making is appearance. And God can use that word to help you be a better testimony. Help you be a good testimony at work. Help you be a good testimony at home. Help you be a good testimony at church. When men don't like what God says, what they do is change it. Isaiah 66:5. Who's got that?
Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, that they shall be ashamed.
This guy could be Alexander Scorby. Have you ever noticed that? The rest of you all sound like me, like kind of like half grade on the nerves, and it's like, oh, that was a good reading. And he starts reading, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to sit down and listen. I'm sorry, brother. I had one of those moods tonight. I couldn't resist. All right. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. Now hold on a minute, what's the difference? Did you catch it? Brother Rob, would you read the last half of that again? Just start with, let the Lord be glorified.
Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy.
He shall what?
Appear to your joy.
I'm going to keep making him say it until he messes up. He shall appear to your joy. What's that talking about? His second coming. He's going to appear to your joy. You know what they deleted? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, who in the right mind? Who in their right, that is the blessed hope of the believer, who in their right mind would delete the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you crazy? They said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. So lost people can come in there on Sunday morning, we're glorifying the Lord and praising the Lord and we're full of joy and they can see our joy. That's not what the book said. That's not what God's teaching in Isaiah 66. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is like a miniature of the whole Bible. If you study that thing out, you see the Old Testament and the New Testament and the break in how many books represent the Old Testament, how many books represent the New Testament, and how at the end of Isaiah, it wraps up with the second coming of Jesus Christ, just like the last book of the Bible in Revelation. It's about the second coming. And they make it about me. And you being joyful. That's just lame. I thank God for the joy of the Spirit. I thank God for the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. And when we are joyful and we do glorify the Lord, that's all good stuff, right? What's wrong with that? It's just nothing next to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's all. It's just temporal next to the second coming of Jesus Christ. What's wrong with the New King James Bible? A lot. Who's got the last New King James reference? Acts chapter 3. You got the King James. I'll read you the New King James. Yes, sir.
Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his iniquities.
Definitely not Alexander Scorby. Could be a street preacher. Amen. Brother Gabe was the same way. We had to push him and push him and push him to street preach. I was going to call him every name in the book, tell him he's a chicken, all that kind of stuff if he didn't do it. And he's like, I deal better one-on-one with people. Okay. Whatever. And then he gets up there and he's like, the Bible says, and the building started shaking and the ground was shaking and people were like, oh my goodness, we better get saved right now. It's like the closest thing I've heard to Pastor Chad's voice, my word. And he ain't Scorby either, I guarantee you that. Alright, Acts 3, 25 and 26. You are sons and of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God raised up his what? What do you got? Son, Jesus. This says God raised up his servant, Jesus. You just lowered Jesus Christ from the status of son when God said son to servant. What have we learned in the book of Galatians? You were servants under the law. Now are you sons. If you take Jesus when God has not left him under that, and you put him back in the position where he's fulfilling the law as a servant, that's before his death, burial, and resurrection. Does that make sense? He did fulfill the law in his lifetime, didn't he? He did serve his father, didn't he? But God doesn't want it said servant here. He's referring to a son. You lower Jesus Christ to the level of a servant, he's not still a servant. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God hath highly exalted him. And when men lower him, that's got to infuriate God. He raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So what's he referring to there in the chapter? Turning away every, sent him to bless you and turn you away from your iniquities. That's after resurrection. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Son is the right word in that context. But they change it to servant. Guys, that's just a sampling of what the New King James actually does. And when they start out, lying, saying that it's really no different. The New King James Bible. We just pretty much dropped the these and the thous. Do you know how many readings I just gave you line up with the New World Translation? The Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, where they make Jesus Christ a God, and they say that He was begotten. He's not eternal God. He's not one, three in one. He's not God. He's begotten of God. So the guys that gave you a New King James Bible without realizing it, I don't think they were trying to, continually, repeatedly line up with the New World Translation as they copy down their new Bible. Did anybody smell a rat? Something isn't right. All right, a couple things real quick on the NIV. All right, I'm just going to give you a couple. I got a bunch. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hit the highlights. All right. So let's do this. The easy ones, because I want to be done here in just a couple of minutes. So the easy ones. Josh, would you please grab Luke 9:56? Luke chapter 9, verse 56. Kelly, Mark 11:26. And Brother Todd, Matthew 18:11. All right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you Psalms 12, 6, and 7. And I can pretty much quote that one if you want to turn there. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Context. Words of the Lord are pure words, all right? So now we're in the NIV. Listen to what the NIV does to the fact that God's going to keep His words and preserve them from this generation forever based on the context. Just interpreting verse 7 based on the context of verse 6, which is logical. "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever." Now, in context, that doesn't even make sense. So they switched it. Instead of allowing God to preserve His words forever, they say it's us He's going to preserve forever. That doesn't make any sense to me. Who has the first one? Luke 9:56.
"The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them."
The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Watch this. Here's Luke 9, and I'll read the same area. You read 56, right, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right. Luke 9:53-54. "When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?'" Verse 55. "But Jesus turned and rebuked them." Verse 56. "And they went to another village." Read the part that they completely omitted, brother.
"For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them."
Why would you delete that? You delete the fact that the Son of Man has not come to destroy your life, but to save you? Don't you think they might have an agenda against God? They got an agenda. He's just going to ruin my life. I mean, I won't be able to drink and smoke and party and fornicate. It's just going to be horrible. He didn't come to destroy your life. He came to save it. Why don't you follow Him? Why don't you give your life to Him? If you're not saved, why don't you get saved? Amen. Who would want to delete that verse? Who would want to read a Bible that did? Why? It's not easier. It doesn't flow. It doesn't... I mean this in the right spirit. I really do. Lord help me. You can memorize. I'll say it this way because it'll come across best. I promise you, you can memorize massive portions of Scripture. It flows. There's a rhythm and a rhyme and a bounce to it. When you memorize your Bible, pay attention to the grammar, the punctuations, the commas, the colons, the exclamation points, and just memorize it in rhythm. Just try it. I mean, it just goes. There's something about it. You can't do it with these books. They're not God's Word. They don't get down in the soul. They don't get down in the heart. They don't stick in the mind. I'm not good at memorizing. You want to sharpen your mind up? You want your IQ to go up? try memorizing scripture. I'm not good at it. You can memorize a verse by next week. On a 3x5 card on your way to work, read it. Just read it every day. You can do it. We're going to be too long. Who has the next one? Yes, sir. All right. Mark 11:26 over here. Now that's a tough verse right there. Now, doctrinally, we don't have the time to dive into all that. Kingdom of Heaven, message, a whole line. We don't have time to dive into all that. But that's a tough message because you got to apply that spiritually. God's forgiven you if you're saved in this dispensation. Make a spiritual application of that, and that's rough. Okay? Mark 11:26 over here. And when you stand praying, this is verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins, you your sins. So that's 25. The very next verse, I can leave this open for you to see if you want to see it for yourself, is verse 27. There's not even a 26 blank. It goes from 25 right to 27. And I'm double checking to make sure that I'm not overlooking it, and I'm not. They arrived again in Jerusalem, verse 27. When they leave a blank there and they go with it, why wouldn't you change the number? Why wouldn't you go 25, 26, 27? Why wouldn't they do that? The word is nigh, even in that heart and that mouth. That is the word of faith that they preach. You know, God's going to pull them up as a witness. They're going to come right before them, and God's going to pull their spirit right out and say, now look at you. You didn't see what you were doing. You condemned yourself, son. You left a blank. You left a blank because you knew you were deleting something. And they're too blind to see what they're even doing. If I was going to do it, I think I'd be a little slyer than that. I mean, if you're that gone, if you're that far gone and reprobate, oh, I know I'm ticking off some preachers now. Some professors. And with my arrogance. It's not arrogance when I'm building your faith in what God said. That ain't arrogance. That's humility. The arrogance is thinking you can rewrite what God said. Take it up at the throne, at the judgment seat. You figure out who's arrogant there. Amen. Now, who's at the next one? Yes, sir. Hey, how do you like that verse? Anybody here used to be lost? Ain't that a good verse? I like that verse. What do you think of somebody that didn't like that verse? How would that make you feel? Brother, start reading before it, please. Verse 10. No. We're supposed to be 28. Wait a minute. Matthew 18:11. I'm sorry. But that was a great verse. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for 28:11 over here. Is that then maybe the Lord just gave us an extra one. Hold on. Matthew 28:11. What did you just read? You ate 18. You read the right one. I'm sorry. All right. I'm sorry. Never mind. You read the right one. Okay. We're good. I was in the wrong chapter. Not you, brother. I apologize. All right. Here we go again. Here's verse 10. Matthew 18:10. I'm back on track. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Verse 12. I just read you verse 10. Verse 12. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? Completely gone. And they even numbered it accurately. So literally, they can't count? My kindergartner, my 4-year-old, can go from 1 to 12. And she knows 11's got to be in there. Because she didn't go to public schools, I guess. I don't know. All right. Let me give you two more big ones. And then, does anybody else have one that I asked you to read? Or is that it? Were you the last one? I just confused you bad, didn't I? No? Okay. I'll try harder next time. All right. Let me give you these two. Everybody go to Luke chapter 2, please. Whoever wants to jump on this, go ahead and read it once you get it. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. In the Word of God.
And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him.
Okay. Joseph and his mother. Got it? Anybody know why he says Joseph and his mother? You got it, brother. Now, who wouldn't know that? These little kids know that. Guarantee you they know that. With Brother D's notes on the whiteboard down there, good night. They're probably scholars already. We're going to have Clarence Larkins running around here. We're going to be making a big problem for ourselves. Luke 2, verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Well, now, if Joseph was Jesus' father, then you're dead in trespasses and sin. Go ahead, brother. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, you're making a big deal out of nothing. That's not his father. No, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. In a lost man who doesn't have the Spirit, these things are spiritually discerned, right? Reads through that and sees his father and his mother. Give me a guy with a decent IQ who studies, pays attention to detail. And he's reading the Bible and somebody gives him an NIV and he's asking for truth and he catches this kind of stuff. Mistakes and errors abound. I told you about the wrong person killing Goliath, didn't I? I'll show you one last one, and this one will top them all off. I don't know that this one tops off that, but this one's a very close second. Everybody go to Isaiah 14, please. This is the last one, and it's two verses to prove the point. Isaiah 14. Look at verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12. Who's going to read it?
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?
Okay. Isaiah 14, 12 in the NIV. How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. He said, son of the morning, right? Lucifer, God gives you his exact name before he fell. Lucifer, son of the morning. Got it? That's different than morning star. What's the big deal? The big deal is seen in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 16. God knows who's who and how to name them and when to say ye and you when he wants to be singular and plural. He knows when he's speaking individually to a man and says thee, and he says ye when he means ye. I mean, God's a man of his word. If he says it, you can take it to the bank. Who's got Revelation 22:16 in the Word of God? Who's the morning star? It ain't Lucifer. Now, can I show you how lame these guys are? If they were decent, if they were decent intellectually. Yes, I'm totally making fun of them. What I tell you in Institute, ridicule their intellect if they refuse to believe what God said, doubt their character if they refuse to do what God says. Right? Part of a preacher's job. So if people don't like it, tough. I'm just be glad if I get to Jesus Christ and he says, well done, you good and faithful servant. So if they had a decent intellect and paid attention to their own work instead of hurrying up to get it processed so they could get the money rolling, because they already tested the market and they figured this one was going to be a big hit and they knew what their P&L charts would look like. And never mind. Here's what they said. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you this testimony, to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring in David and the bright and morning star. Now, how would they miss that? Because they got it fairly accurately in Revelation 22, the bright and morning star. But they gave Lucifer the same name in Isaiah. How could they let that go? Don't you think somewhere along the line they have to sit back and say, maybe we're tampering with something that's God's? And maybe the devil's in on this thing. I could give you testimonies, and maybe we'll save it for another time, testimonies of men who one time sat on these committees and later recognized what they did and came public and recanted their position and repented and said, God, I wish I could go back and do it over. This is a mess and this thing is wrong, and I want you to know the people I was working with are not what they present themselves to be. Well, the devil hates that book, folks. I figure enough said for now. I've enjoyed this, but I like studying the Bible more than about the Bible. You know what I mean? And I have enjoyed it. But let me just say, if you got the King James Bible, you got the Word of God. Just trust it, believe it, obey it, read it, memorize it, love it, preach it. Your life will change. You don't have to doubt it. Just believe it. And next week, let's get into Proverbs. I can't wait to start defining some terms. It's going to be so much fun. What is wisdom? The Bible defines it. What is understanding? What is the fear of the Lord? And discretion. And it's just all kinds of good help. I got no idea how long we'll be there, but just pray for me if you would. I'll pray for you, and let's let God use that book to help us. Amen? Let's pray. Father.